because we're celebrating my 40th ordination birthday, which was actually on the 8th this weekend, and we came up to having to decide, well, what kind of ceremony would you do for something like that? Because you don't actually have a ceremony for that, you know, and why should you? But I thought, you know, it's the most natural thing, it seems the most natural thing in the world to me, that the ceremony I'd like would be a memorial for Reverend Master Jiu. And I want to just talk for a few minutes about why I think that way, and probably don't need to actually explain it, but sometimes it doesn't hurt to put into words, something into words. And I like to watch some of these popular science programs, you know, like they have on the Science Channel, and they have a lot of hokum, but they have some neat information too, on the kind of cutting edge of both observations and experimentation, and also theories. Some of you, maybe all of you, know that the kind of latest, kind of modern version of what in the 19th century was the ether, which is trying to explain something you have no concept of, but you can't, you know, you can't get your head around it, so you just posit something that you have no proof of. It's what they call dark energy and dark matter. You ever heard of those things? And they freely admit, you know, they assert it exists for sure, and at the same time they say, we don't have a clue what it is, and we have no proof whatsoever. Well, we have a kind of, they have a proof, you know. But the proof really comes from the fact that the theory and the facts don't match up. So they posit this, and it's a lot like the positing of the, sounds to me a lot like the positing of the ether in the 19th century, which got disproved, and when they disproved that, it led to, one of the results was it led to Einstein's theory of relativity. Because they had to rethink light, you know, due to was it Michelson? Is that the person who did the famous experiments? Anyway, when we talk about the transmission, we usually think of like this kind of people in a line, you know, master teaching disciple and monks teaching monks and the like, and ordaining monks and teaching monks and everything. And but there's this whole other side of the, or aspect of the transmission, which is about like the relation, the quantity relationship is like the relationship of the dark, supposedly dark matter to everything we can see in the universe is supposed to be like 10 to 1 or something. And most of it you can't even see, supposedly. And what the transmission is like that, most of it you actually can't see. It's way more than the masters and disciples and what happens between them. And it's way more than individual human beings teaching and passing something on to other individual human beings. You get a sense of this when you read the Denkaroku, especially the way Reverend Master translated it. It's kind of, you get this deeply mystical view of the transmission and a sense of something infinite underlying the surface appearance of things. When I think of the transmission, you might say that I think of the dark matter of the transmission. All that part that is so much the so much moreness of what the transmission is than just the individual people and what happened between them and the like. And when I think of the, you know, what is the spiritual meaning of something like being a monk for many years? Well, if it's just kind of surviving some miserable process for managing to survive it for 40 years, it's like, so what? Why didn't you actually do something you enjoyed? So, but of course, I am doing something I enjoy, actually. But the meaning of these things comes from something deeper. And that something deeper is a transmission within, always think of it with a capital T, transmission. When I was just starting training, I was in my early 20s, and I'd been blundering around for my whole short life up to that point, looking for something that I couldn't even put a name to. Really, it was a classic search for God, really, is what it was. Trying to find God. But I, especially as I got older, I couldn't have put any name to it, because as I got older, I started believing in God less and less, or thought I did. But the fact that I believed in God less and less didn't stop me looking all the more desperately, actually. When I'd really begun to realize how deeply I was suffering, then I was more ready for Buddhism, and that's just when I blundered into Buddhism. And within a year of my really first exposure to a Buddhism that I could actually, that meant something to me, in other words, within about a year of my really becoming ready to really hear the teachings of Buddhism and take them to heart, and really starting to take them to heart, I found our Sangha. I met some disciples of Rinmasajiyu, the singers, and started training with them, and they were starting the priory in Eugene. And when I think back at what it was that moved in me, and what it was that was moving in me, that brought me to our Sangha and to our way of training. To me, that's the transmission happening. See, that's the transmission happening. You could say that from my point of view now, you know, looking back on most, what's going to be most of my life now, unless I live to be 130 or so, you know, it looks to me like one flow of the transmission. That when I was born into the transmission. All those years as a child and as a young man, when I was hunting for something that I couldn't really put a name to, the transmission was guiding me along. And when I found the Sangha and the practice, the teachings of the Buddha, and I've not only found it, but it meant something to me on the deepest intuitive level, that was a transmission. And the actual manifestation of Reverend Master Jiyu in our country, when, you know, at the time that she came, that was a transmission. Her being found by Ko Zenji when he was doing a world tour, that was a transmission. Her taking him up on his invitation to come train with her, be her disciple, that was a transmission. She didn't start it. Ko Zenji didn't start it. I didn't start it. Shakyamuni Buddha didn't start it. None of us started it. None of us made it what it is. If we learn to be true to it, train to be true to it, then it makes us what we become. But we don't make it what it is. That's the dark matter of the transmission, or the dark energy of the transmission, because it's what the world can't see and what the world can't be aware of. And it doesn't require, for me personally, it doesn't require anyone else in the world to see that or to be aware of it for me to see it and be aware of it. See? It doesn't require anything except my training for me to be aware of it, my faith. You could say that from that point of view, when we're born into the transmission. When we die within it. The question is whether we're going to know that or not. Whether we're going to be aware of it. When we do the memorials for Reverend Master, it's not just Reverend Master. There wouldn't be any point in putting Reverend Master on a pedestal. First of all, she'd be the last person who'd want it. She never would have wanted that. There wouldn't be any point in it. There is no point in it. But Reverend Master so magnificently showed what the transmission really is by living it. By living in a way that's true to it. And as my master, she represents that for me. No one else represents it for me in the way she does, because she's my master. Just as Koho Zenji represented it for her. But it would be a mistake for me to think that that's all there was to it. That's like trying to narrow something infinite down to one aspect. It's never wise to do that. When we recite those Buddhas and ancestors, you know, the list of the Buddhas and ancestors that we do every morning service, when River Master was teaching us to do that, she always emphasized that you let one name flow into another name. It's one flow. Some of you might, we do it rather vigorously here, and it's done that way. I do it that way because to me it conveys that sense of the flow, just that flow, and it's. The emphasis is really not on the individual people, a string of individual people. It's really the gratitude that's being expressed is to the transmission itself and the way, and to those people for doing the great service to mankind that they did, to all beings, of allowing the transmission to show through their lives and to use them as its tools in the way that they did. Their willingness to give themselves to it, which is the whole meaning of being a monk. The meaning of being a monk, to give one's life fully to God. That's in Western terms and Buddhist terms. In Buddhist terms, we'd use a term like the transmission or the Buddha nature. Western terms might use God, but that's the meaning of it. And that's the whole meaning of it. It's not defined by any external things. It's only described in a surface way by external things. But the spiritual meaning of it is very simply the giving of one's life wholly, unreservedly, to the eternal. So for me, when we do a memorial for River Master to you, which we do at least twice a year, it's more than just a human being, and it's also to that human being, a particular human being, in gratitude for what she gave us. And when I do it, it's in gratitude for what she gave me. Even though she would say, well, I didn't do anything for you. As indeed what she told me when I thanked her. You did it all yourself. I could have burst into tears knowing what it cost her, what some of the things I did myself. When we speak of the master-disciple relationship as being at the very heart of what we're doing, this is why it's at the heart of what we're doing. I've said it many times, I'll say it again here. It's not for what masters teach disciples or for what disciples do for masters. It's for the way the Eternal uses that relationship. It's the way the Eternal uses the master for the disciple and the way the Eternal uses the disciple for the master. And you do learn, it may take us many years to learn it, but eventually you do learn, and you really get it drummed into you as a monk, that it is the Eternal using it, the Eternal using that relationship, the Eternal using that person. The meaning goes so deep because of what it means spiritually to one's, the deepest part of one's life.